As we've been studying Paul's letter to the Romans, and you might want to pull out your outline, that remember, his argument is not, the hero wasn't to be Caesar. The hero wasn't to be Rome. But the hero, true hero, was to be God. And Paul went to all of those fans of all of those Romans, and he told them, and he even told the Jews of that day, that their worship was not to all be about works, that isn't what God was looking for. And that it wasn't about law. That isn't what God was looking for. What God was looking for was true worshipers of the Spirit. And so today, I believe we've got some of them here, without a doubt. And so we're going to be looking at another part as we're studying this part. We're in a little mini-series in Romans. And I am not going to finish it today. Just this section, it's called Roman numeral 2. I'm going to finish that up. Roman numeral 3, God willing, will be next Sunday. But as you open up your Bibles, go with me to Romans chapter 4, verse 13 through verse 17, and follow along, please. We'll have a short little background and go on from there. It says, "For the promise that was actually given to Abraham, that he would be the heir of the world, was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of no effect, because the law brings about wrath, for there where is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith, that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all of the seed, not only of those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did." Father God, we pray this morning that your word would come alive to our hearts and that we, Lord God, would have within ourselves that devotion, that hope, our faith in you, that we might receive and attain to all the blessings that you not only promised to Abraham, but you promise to us as well. So God, we give you this time, bless it for your glory, give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart to receive all that your word reveals today in Jesus' name. So, and if you agree, say amen. Wow, excuse me. That was a cough I didn't mean to do. In verses 13 through 17, we see Abraham was also justified before the law was given. And actually, you have to remember, and we'll be looking at this today, that people think, well, it's worshiping with all these legalistic works. It's doing all these certain kinds of things that make us right with God. What makes us right with God is by our faith. And yet, the works are a result of our faith, not the reverse. But you see, to the Jews, and their thought was, if I just do all these good works, God will love me, and everything will be okay. But yet, we sometimes say the same thing. Well, if I did everything right, then God will take care of me. He'll answer my prayers. He'll do everything for me. Ah, that is not what we should be believing. We should be believing, when I have faith in God, he will take care of me, and he will watch over me. And are there to be works and serving? Oh, absolutely. But it's the result of our relationship with God, not the reverse. And so what happens is, when we've got a wrong viewpoint there, we begin to think that God doesn't love us then, if we're not doing these things. No, he loves you. And that's the beauty of it all. He loves us with an everlasting love. And he gives us the opportunity to serve him. He gives us the opportunity to worship him. So Paul was making this argument to the Jews and to those who didn't know the Lord while he was there in Rome. But in beginning in verses 13 through 16, we remember that the key word was promise. In fact, Abraham was made right with God by believing in God's word and God's promises. And so by obeying God's law, for the law through Moses hadn't even been given yet. So it wasn't by that obedience that was there. It was by his faith in God. And that is true today as well. In fact, in verse 17, it tells us there very clearly, as it is written, he spoke to Abraham, that I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him, God, and it's capitalized, referring to divinity, whom he believed, God. He believed God. Say that he believed God. then you say to the person next to you, I believe in God. Yeah, there we go. So you see, that is what was given to him and accounted for him as righteousness. God declared him his family, his son, but the father of the faith. And actually, the person has no more righteousness as a quality than before the moment they believe in God with all their heart. Our righteousness comes through that, not how good we were, not how bad we were, not how good we have done, not how bad we have done, but it's all given to us through our faith in Jesus Christ, and that's called grace. And so I've titled this whole thing in Romans 4, All About Grace. What is your credit rating with God today? It's all about grace. And if you're walking in grace, and yes, following after God, you will be blessed. And how do I know that? Because he's the judge of all. So it's important to point out Abraham was justified by grace and not law. And when we get to the next section, we've covered it wasn't by works, it's not by law, but it also is a power of God that will come to us in the next teaching. But it's important to point out that Abraham was by grace, and it proves without doubt our salvation is for everybody. See, everybody can have this. You say, well, the Jews don't know the law. Oh, yes, they do. They quote it all the time. In fact, God gave 10 commandments. They have 613 that they quote constantly, and they remind themselves of always. But not only that, they continue to add other additions. But Abraham is the father of the faith. He is the father of all those who believe, not necessarily what he believed, but in the fact of who he believed in. And that is true of your life and my life today. Now, let me give you a picture to support what I just said. Hold your place here. Go with me to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. And in Galatians chapter 3, we see something that begins to unfold over here when Paul wrote to them about this whole relationship. Look with me beginning at verse 6 of Galatians chapter 3. He says, just as Abraham followed the law. Oh, wait a minute. No, it doesn't say that. Just as Abraham did what? He believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Therefore, know that only those who are of faith are the sons of Abraham. So to become a child of God, we believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord. But in believing in him, we're believing in the Redeemer. But you see, Abraham showed faith is the key. And so it is true in our life in Christ today. He says that we become the children of Abraham. And then he goes on. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles, how? By faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying this, in you all the nations will be blessed. So then those who are of the faith are blessed with believing Abraham. So the relationship to God is all by faith, and our works come behind, but our faith is what makes it happen. And so look with me also at verse 11. He says, but that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. For the just shall live by what? Faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. See, the law was only given to point out our failure. If I'm driving my car and my car can go 120 on the speedometer, what keeps me from going 120? The police. That helps. And what do the police do? They enforce the what? The law. So the law tells me that I'm doing it wrong. And especially it's unsafe, it's hazardous, it doesn't provide for everything that I may or may not see. So the reality is the law gives us that ability to see. And then look with me at verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, and to seeds, as many, but as of one, and to your seed, who is Christ. So our relationship with Christ is how this is brought in to all the promises of God. Paul will say later are yes and amen. Would you say yes and amen? So if I believe God and I believe his word and I put my faith in it and I walk in it, all those promises of God are meant for me as well and you as well. We'll include you. Verse 17, and this I say that the law, which was 430 years later, cannot annul the covenant that was confirmed before by God in Christ. that it should make the promise of no effect. For if the inheritance is of the law, it is no longer a promise, but God gave it to Abraham, how? By promise. He gave him his word. Look at verse 26. And he says, for you are all sons, and we'll say daughters, of God, through faith in Jesus Christ. He says, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you're all of one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So all of us have been blessed by faithful Abraham. He just simply believed God. So the question to you and I today, if we want to be a true hero of God, are we going to believe God under any and all circumstances? Okay, there's one. Thank you for that. Over there. I'm glad you believe. Okay, maybe you didn't hear me right. Yes, of course. Say, yes, of course, I believe in him. Yeah, it's to all of us. So today's message can enable you to be strong in your faith as we are strong in the Lord. If you're strong in the Lord, you will have already become strong in your faith. So the result is, when we're going through problems in our life, what do? We go back to the Word of God, we go back to faith, we go back to trusting God under any and all circumstances. Amen? Okay, I got the rest of you awake now. Okay, good. So Genesis 15, turn there with me. And as we've been looking at Abraham's story back here as it was developed, and I haven't been keeping it in order for the sake of what I've been doing in the teaching, I want you to find Genesis chapter 15. It shouldn't take you long to find it. That's the first book of your Bible, okay? You remember. But Genesis 15, and I want you to look with me at verses 1 through 6. He says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram, this was his early name before God changed it, in a vision saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield and exceedingly great reward. But Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus? Then Abram said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house, is that my heir? And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who shall come from your own body shall be your heir. Then he brought him outside and said, look now toward heaven, count the stars, if you're able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And he believed in the Lord, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. He believed in the Lord. God had to take him outside. You know, this is amazing, because this is the first time you'll see in Scripture where God says, fear not. He tells him not to fear. See, fear is the opposite of faith. Faith is the opposite of fear, except for reverential fear, totally trusting God with everything, worshiping him as God. But you see, we put faith in circumstances. We put faith in where our bank account is. We put faith in our job. We put faith in other things. But our true faith is to be in God over all things, because God can provide the job. See, my heroes are the people of faith who trust in God no matter what. I was talking to a man yesterday. He's been very persistent trying to reach me. I did the funeral for his dad a year ago. And this individual was an alcoholic, and not the dad, but the son. And he lived in a, what would be called, from a mental health perspective, a very, very dysfunctional family, and still is for that matter. But yet he is 50-some years of age, still living at home, because he's disabled. And he's been trying to talk with me. His mom was trying to talk with me, but I knew God told me to talk to him. So I talked with him, and he was very discouraged, and I was able to help him. And by the end of our conversation, reaching out to him, he was able to say, Pastor Dave, I'm going to put my faith in God now. I says, yeah, it's about time at this time in your life. I think that works. No, I know it works. And so I told him I would help him in whatever circumstances are what I'm able to do. But you see, the challenge follows the victory. God tells him, don't be fearful about these things of this world, but trust in me. And he says, and I am your God. He says, fear not. But this is not a new concept. In the Bible, the angel said to a flock of frightened shepherds in Luke 2:10, "Fear not." Jesus said to a crowd of seasick disciples, "Fear not." The angel said to a disheartened Paul, "Fear not." And then God says, "I'm your shield and your exceedingly great reward. I am that which will protect you." And you know, we've had a lot of things protect us. We look to a lot of things, but we need to make sure we're looking to God. That's where our protection really is. He says he's our shield. And yet, maybe it suddenly hit Abram that he and his ragtag army of servants and so on had some enemies now. They had four powerful kings that were coming after him. But yet, God says, "Don't fear that, Abram. Fear me. I'm your shield." I don't know what's going on in your life today, but I do know this. I know the one who is able that we should look to no matter what we go through, that crisis in our life. Maybe that bad word that came from the doctor, and maybe my doctor doesn't know what he's talking about, or whatever the case may be. But the reality is we have to look beyond that. And this is what we are to be strong in our faith in, and that is our belief, our faith in God's promises and God's word. John Corson said, he says, "Where is our strength?" He says, "Righteousness. God thought it. Jesus bought it. The Spirit taught it. Satan fought it." He says, "But gang, we got it. And we've now been declared righteous in Jesus Christ by our faith." That's where it begins. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones said, "Thank God it does not depend on us, but that it is of faith, that it might be grace to the end of the promise, might be sure to all the seed who believe." You see, it's not in our hands, church. It's in God's hands. Everything that happens in my life or your life, it's in God's hands. Yes, I can make some bad choices to put my life in circumstances that God doesn't want, but God gave me the choice. And yet when I make the choice right, God will do what he says he will do. But yet I've got to learn to be patient. And you say, well, that's the theology of Paul. Really? Well, Paul said it like this. He says, "He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ." Do you believe that simple promise? I do. He began the work, and I'm going to make sure I don't get in the way of it. And yet, bless you. But Paul also said in Romans chapter 8, and he says, "I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Nothing but nothing, neither life nor death nor any other circumstance. You go, well, that's just Paul. Well, Jesus kind of said it like this. He says, "No one shall pluck you out of my Father's hands." No one. So the reality is, what's our choice today? But then in Genesis 15:1, when he declares himself, God does to Abram, he says, that "I am Adonai, I am your master." And that's what Abram says, "Oh Lord Adonai." Adonai means master. He's our master and Lord. Several of you last week came forward to declare that you would serve God with all your heart. And yet what you were saying is, "Adonai, my master, my Lord, I follow you." And yet how real that is, it's our choice day by day. And yet, as I look at all this, I recognize that God is reaching out. Therefore, our salvation, back in our text, verse 16, tells us that our salvation, therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. So it came through there, it stays through there. So he believed God, it says in verse 17, and he never let go of that. In fact, that's what he stood on. And God made the promise, and it says he believed God. But look at also what it says about God, who gives life at the end of verse 17 to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Does it take strong faith? Absolutely. Do we grow in our faith? Yes. If you're worshiping God, you're believing God, you're studying his word, you're in church, you're in fellowship, and you're serving God. When you put that combination together, you are a winner. By anybody's standards, maybe not. But by God's standards, he declares it so. I love that. I love Hebrews chapter 6, verse 9. Would you go there with me? Hebrews chapter 6, in verse 9. You say, Dave, you need to rest your voice. No, I don't. I'm going to use my voice. Hebrews chapter 6, and I want to share something, one of my favorite passages out of Hebrews, because these Hebrew Christians were going through terrible trials. They were being killed for their faith. They were being martyred. And yet, in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 9, it says something that just really touches my life. It says, but beloved, we're confident of better things concerning you. Yes, things that accompany your salvation, though we speak in this manner. For God is not unjust to forget your work and your labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, and that you've ministered to the saints, and you do minister. Do we minister to each other? Do we serve? Minister means serving. Do we serve each other? Do we serve God? Do we serve others? And maybe even those we don't know. And he says, and we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. How long? How long do I have to be an usher? Till the end. How long do I have to sing in the worship team? Till the end. How long do I have to follow God? To the end. How long do I have to be faithful to God? To the end. Okay, I think we got that part right. I don't mean the end zone, then you get out and try it again. I mean you just go all the way to the end. He says that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Wow. You see, that's one of our problems. We have been brought up in a society as instant, everything now. I have to have everything done now. In fact, if it's not, I have a problem, personally. Okay, I like everything done a certain way, and I want it done right away, and I don't want to wait. And in fact, if I have to wait, not good enough for me, I'm going somewhere else. And so the reality is we become so impatient, but that's fine, folks, with certain things. But don't be impatient with God. Trust him. How long? I said it, two words, till the end. Okay. And when you can no longer do anything, then you're there. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 and 36 says, therefore, do not cast away your confidence. I have met so many believers as a pastor for 38, 39 years. And I'll tell you this, and all these people I've met, there's very few of them that have a real strong confidence that they keep. But do you? I know many of you do. And I've seen you go through some thick and thin things. I've seen you, your heart poured out. I've seen some of your lives broken. I've seen you in health issues. I've seen you in well, I won't say wealth issues, but I've seen you in things in life. And I look at you and I go, there's my hero. Those are the ones. So he says, don't cast away your confidence. But he says in verse 36 of Hebrews 10, for you have need of endurance. That means patience. So that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Be strong in your faith. The Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 6:10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of God's ability. That's where my faith is. Be strong. It's as strong as we're willing to believe God. Are you willing to believe God? You see, my faith gets tested all the time. And I used to think, most recently I used to think, early on I could say, God, I know why you test my faith. I need to grow. But as I've been growing in the Lord, and now after all these years, I go, God, why are you still testing my faith? Because he says, you need to grow. I says, grow? Are you kidding? And he goes, like Abram, Adonai, you're my master, you're my Lord, and I will serve you where you say go, I'll go. What you say do, I'll do. I'll do what you want me to do. And that, you know, we have to choose to be strong. Some people choose to be strong in themselves. And you know, I can see that. They pride themselves on being the best quarterback, the best coach. And in fact, who will be decided the best will be in all the newspapers tomorrow. And probably by the end of the day. And they'll be the best. They'll be praised and honored as true heroes. Or maybe it'll be the guys that I heard listening to. I was walking by and they were talking, you know, if the coach would just do this, he's got to do this. And if this player, if he does this, then it's done. It's done. I'm going, what a waste of time. And I go, isn't there more things to talk about? Well, I know. I don't want to ruin. Okay, I'm not going to spoil that. I promised myself I wouldn't. But someone said, tested faith is a strong faith. And you see, when I see people going through tragedy, when I see them suffer, when I see them lose a loved one, when I see a heart falling apart or a young wife with a husband who's disloyal, or a young husband with a wife that's disloyal, or for that matter, older. Some men have midlife crisis. Some women have midlife crisis. I told my wife just recently, I'm having an old crisis. I drive a big pickup truck. And so what difference does that make? I like it. And but yet be strong in the Lord and the power of his ability. Wow. Someone said, tested faith is a strong faith. In James chapter 1, it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Ooh. Maybe you ought to look at James chapter 1 real quickly. It could just be reminded, I know you know this. And you say, Dave, I've heard all this before. Good, good, good. Maybe we'll start doing it. But in James chapter 1, verse 2, it says, my brethren, this would include the whole church, includes the sisters, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. That means those tests, those tribulations, those circumstances. We talked about that last week with Abraham. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces what? Patience or endurance. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. I've titled this whole thing about your credit rating with God. And there it is, folks, that you may be perfect. Wow. And complete, lacking nothing. And I believe God kept me here to share that message. And I believe he has me on this earth to share that message. For years, I didn't care. I didn't care about people. In fact, I came back from the Marine Corps and from Vietnam, and I didn't care about anybody. And I lived it until God set me down one night and said, this is the end. Are you ready? And I was 5 years into a marriage that I was losing. And I was 5 years into my business that I wasn't losing, but I needed to give it up. I was 5 years into a mental emotion thing that I couldn't control because I didn't want to control it. It controlled me, and I let it. I chose it. But then God brought me around, and I thank God that I'm alive today because, you see, I want to be perfect and complete, lacking nothing in my life. And so he tells me how to do it. He says, I'm going to go through trials. Yeah. And he says, but let verse 4, let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all of us liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. That's a promise of God. But let him ask how? In faith. See, there's the difference. You got to have faith when you go to the Word of God. You see, your faith will be tested. Does it mean your faith won't be tested? No. Does it mean you will never have problems? No. I was in that faith theology for a while back in the 70s, and I got out of it because I realized it was tainted, it was obscure, and it wasn't real. It was phony. In fact, it talks about in the book of Jude how there are these dreamers who have a faith that's like wax. It's not real because they don't believe anything bad could ever happen to anybody if you truly follow God. Really? That's not the martyrs I believed and I saw in the scriptures. That's not the martyrs that I read in Fox's Book of Martyrs who gave their life. That's not the martyrs that I saw in the Roman Colosseum scribed on the walls, Jesus saves, and they were going to get thrown to the lions the next day. That's not the people I've ever seen that have gotten up from their handicap and their wheelchairs and doing everything possible to follow God. Those are my heroes. One's life is to be lived being confident in God and his word, no matter what happens. And yet, I look to that and I go, God, my faith needs to grow. Bless you. One man's life provides a dramatic answer to that question. You see, God indeed can bring positives out of troubled times, if we'll let him. There's a man, I never met this man. But his experience resonated with me because while in Vietnam, I was assigned as a Marine aboard a naval vessel. I don't like to talk about these kinds of things, but it fits in the text or I wouldn't. And I want to share something about this man's faith in God. Because, you see, I wasn't walking with God. But I was assigned to the Navy on searching boats for weapons and that kind of stuff. And the Marines always to protect the captain. Well, I wasn't a hero. In fact, I spent 2.5 days down below the bottom of this steel PT boat, sick as a dog, because those Navy guys gave me steak that I hadn't eaten any food in 6 months that was real. And they set me up. But I love the Navy, okay? So don't get me wrong. But there's jokes that they play on the Marines, and the Marines play jokes on the Navy. And so there I was, sick as a dog. I got so sick, we were being fired upon, and I couldn't hardly function or move because I was so sick. Well, finally, after 3 days, this patrol boat had to take me back in. But several months later, after I was a short timer, just about ready to end my time in the Marine Corps, there was a man I heard about on a Navy patrol boat, up in the same regions I was in, but he was working under the Navy. He was a Navy personnel. And he was there and had such a horrible injury. I didn't know anything about his faith in God at that time. I just heard of it. And I kind of resonated with it. And I thought, God, why'd you spare me and this guy what he went through? See, we don't always know why God does something in somebody's life. But I know one thing. He knew his faith was tested. Now, I wasn't a hero. And I'm still not. But this man is a hero even to this day. Because he's still alive. And he was just honored and decorated recently because of his work with vets from all periods of all wars and so on. He's a hero. But he was part of elite special forces working on the naval patrol boats. But during the nighttime raid, an enemy stronghold, this man's name is David Reeves, and you may have heard of him. And he's been on national television and everything. He was just awarded even by our government again for his work he's doing with vets. But during that raid, he experienced the greatest trial of his life. See, he was a born-again believer, but I didn't know it. But when he and his men were pinned down by enemy machine gun fire, he pulled out a phosphorus grenade from his belt, stood up to throw it. But as he pulled it back, a bullet hit the grenade, and it went off in his face, in his shoulders, in his chest. Well, it blew off his ear, blew out one of his eyes, and his face was completely gone from the phosphorus burning through his skin, because phosphorus doesn't, you can't put it out, it just burns. And it burned a hole where he could look down his chest and he could see his heart moving. So he knew he was alive, so he jumped off the boat into the water, thinking the water would stop this pain and what he was going through, but the water can't put out the fire. And so he was so badly burned, he doesn't have hair or doesn't have an ear. Actually, he's got an artificial ear, and he wears artificial hair. But the guy is truly amazing. His right hand was so severed that his fingers were torn off his tendons, his right thumb was hanging by a tendon. Blood was pumping in his artery, and he will tell you today, and he said it many times, that the blood pumping out of him was coming out so quickly that the fire actually helped him because the fire cauterized the artery. But he went down in the water and all he could see was his skin floating away. And he came up, he took a deep breath, went underwater, and when he came up, he breathed in more phosphorus and fire into his chest, his bronchial tubes, and his vocal cord, and everything, and breathed it right into his lungs, went down underwater again, and he came up, and he yelled out these words to the guys that were on that little boat, God, I still believe in you. And he went back underwater again. They did rescue him, but hearing those words, one of his buddies on that boat fell down to his knees and said, I need to give my life to Christ, as David is a follower of Jesus like I've never seen before. And a man actually got born again on that naval patrol boat that day. David was taken from there. He knew he was going to die, but he didn't. And yet, his problems were just beginning. When he first went into surgery, the first of what would become dozens of operations, the surgical team had a major problem during the operation because they cut away tissue that had burned by the grenade. He would light up again. And they were so afraid in the operating room, seven times they had to leave and evacuate because thinking the oxygen would blow up the place. But after time went on, he was listed as a KIA, but he wasn't. He was a newly married man before he went to Vietnam, but he was very grotesque in what he looked like. He was once a handsome man. He had nothing to offer his wife or anything else, although he promised her he would come back whole. Well, he didn't. He felt alone and worthless, but he had a faith in God. He neglected the day that his wife would come to see him, but his wife walked up to his bed, checked his ID because he was all covered in Band-Aids, his whole upper body, saw it was her husband. She found one little spot on his face, and she walked up and kissed that spot and said, "Honey, I will always love you, and I want you to know whatever it takes, whatever the odds, we can make it together." She hugged him where she could and stayed with him for a long period of time. See, she was a strong believer as well. They were both believers in Jesus Christ, and as a result of their faith in God, they became even stronger. In the weeks and months that followed, David's wound slowly healed. It took dozens of operations, agonizing recovery, but today, David can see and hear. And on national television, he made this statement, and he's made it more than once. He says, "I'm twice the person I was before I went to Vietnam. For one thing, God has used my suffering to help me feel others' pain and have an incredible burden to reach people for Him. The Lord has set me in a worldwide ministry, positive effect on people's lives because of what I went through. I wouldn't trade anything I've gone through for the benefits of the trials that they had in my life as a believer in Jesus Christ. I've gone through all over the world." He goes back to Vietnam on a regular basis. He's a missionary there, as well as here in the States. And he says, "When I go to Vietnam, I don't take an M16 anymore. I take John 3:16. And he's been leading people to the Lord all over the world. You see, according to Dr. John Trent, a man that I studied, had the privilege to study some things under, in his article on the gift of honor, he said, Dr. John Trent is a born-again believer as well. He said, "Tested faith brings about a depth of character. Tested faith enables us to comfort and encourage others. Tested faith increases dependence on God for wisdom. And tested faith encourages us to lead a productive and effective life. Tested faith helps us to identify with Christ. And tested faith allows us to focus our future and hope in Christ." Well, you see, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. We believe God, and it's accounted to us for righteousness. Abraham looked forward to what Hebrews 12 says, looking unto God. But it says in Hebrews 12, looking unto Jesus. And that's what David Reeves did. But before we receive communion today, before I finish this message, I want you to hear just one minute, 32 seconds of David Reeves tell a little bit about a story of speaking in a church. It's an excerpt, so would you please show it?
"I love you, I love you. I do. I shouldn't say I love you with, you know, because my thumb's blown off. I love you. It's sign language with a lisp. I'm 61. Reverse that, I'm 16. I've got a body of a 90-year-old and the brain of a 16-year-old. Somewhere in the middle there, I'll probably come out about 61. I don't know. No one will ever put on my headstone. He tried, but he didn't make it. That little dash, that's the smallest thing on the headstone, but it's the biggest thing there. I live my life in a dash. Where is that part of you that says, I'm excited about Jesus? There's nothing more fun than serving Jesus Christ. It's joy unspeakable without the guilt. My passion drives me. I was in for 8 months, wounded twice, and the second one was devastating when a grenade blew the whole side of my face off, ripped me open. Two words, say it with me. Jesus wept. Why was he weeping over a dead man he's about to raise? He's weeping over the family of the dead man. They had dead faith. Where's that faith in the God we trust? What is the most important thing in your life? Where's your passion? What brings you to tears? It's a good question. Only you can answer it. I don't know. My passion is to do everything in my human ability, anointed by the Holy Spirit, and making the ordinary extraordinary, and do something for God that when I stand before Jesus, I will not be embarrassed. Because Jesus is coming back. Come on, say it with me. Jesus is coming back.
Yes, he is. Do you believe that? Let's give a hand to the Lord. It's people like David Reeves that are my heroes, but it's people like that mother taking care of her children, working two jobs. They're my heroes. It's people like that that reach out to Jesus and are willing to drive. It's people like that who are willing to serve. It's people like that. It's people like you who are my true heroes. And for that, I desire to somehow become that in my life and my faith. You see, it's all about faith, because it's all about faith in Jesus, not in me. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of God's ability, because through him, you can be the greatest person and hero in God's sight. But it's not just temporary. It's forever. David's going to get a new body, and I'm going to get a new body, and I need one. Maybe he might need his a little bit more than me. I don't know. But I know one thing. It's not what's on the outside that counts. It's what's on the inside that counts. What is yours today? This will end this section of the teaching, because you see, works didn't do it, law didn't do it, but faith does it. And it's resurrection power that will. And we'll get to that next part next time. But right now, this morning, the one in whom we owe it all to is our Lord. Because you see, he suffered and died. He was God, but he willingly laid it all out. Allowed himself, he didn't have to, but freely gave in order that he would give you everything. And then he died, but he rose again to give you everything. Wow, what an inspiring hero he is. He's mine, and I pray he be yours. Today, these gentlemen will serve as communion in remembrance of Jesus Christ. And as they do, please hold on to both. We'll partake of them together.
Lay down, crucified, your arms stretched out and open wide to rescue me so I can be a child of God. From nail-pierced hands and thorn-pierced pride, your blood flows down to me somehow and cleanses me so I can be a child of God.
Yes, thank you.
Your life laid down, crucified, your arms stretched out and open wide to rescue me so I could be a child of God. From nail-pierced hands and thorn-pierced brow, your blood flows down to me somehow. It cleanses me so I could be a child of God. Praise to the Lamb that was slain. Praise to the Father who gave His Son away. The proof of love, the price of grace, you traded all to take my place. You rescued me so I could be a child of God. Life lay down, crucified, your arms stretched out and open wide to rescue me so I could be a child of God. From nail-pierced hands and thorn-pierced brow, your blood flows down to me somehow. It cleanses me so I could be a child of God. Praise to the Lamb that was slain. Praise to the Father who gave His Son away. of life, the price of grace. You traded all to take my place. You rescued me so I could be a child of God. The proof of love, the price of grace. You traded all to take my place. You rescued me so I could be a child of God.
Yes, he did. As we look at this bread, we're reminded by Isaiah the prophet that said that he, our Savior, our Redeemer, the Christ, the Anointed One, would be bruised and pierced even more than any other man. As we look at this matzah cracker, it's pierced, it's bruised. He did that for us. And yet, it's broken, because he was broken for us. And as we have broken these to share and remember, it reminds us that we're all of one in Christ. That this all came, we all have a broken piece of what was whole. Jesus gave us his whole that we could have a broken part of him. But he did this to make us whole. We have this cup. It reminds us of his blood that was shed for our sins to pay for our guilt, our wrong, our lack of faith, our unbelief, and our unrighteous deeds. He gave his blood for us that we would be redeemed, and our rating with God would be considered perfect in his sight. And now we have the choice. Will I serve you, God? Will I serve you with a whole heart, no matter what? Will my faith be in you, no matter how hard it may seem or how hard it may be? Yes, we all go through trials and tribulations, some more severe than others. Some people's pain, it's always in the eyes of the beholder. I was taught that when I studied in mental health. It's never in my sight what somebody's going through. It's what's in their sight. But I can pray for them. I can reach out to them. I can care for them. I can love them. I can understand them. And I can do my best to help them. May we be true followers of our Lord Jesus Christ, because he's worth it all. And yet, we may never be called to any problem in our life. Yeah, I wish I knew that was true. But I do know the problem solver, and I will always look to him no matter what. And so today, with this bread and this cup, are you truly following Jesus? Will you trust him no matter what? Will you give your all to him, whatever he calls you to do? Will you be faithful? Because you see, it's by faith we get the blessing, both now and especially forever. So this prayer, I want to lead us in. Let us make this prayer out loud together to the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, I submit my life to you, my will to you, my trust in you, and I will not live with fear, but I will live with faith in the living God. So bless this bread and this cup to my life in memory of Jesus Christ, who is my Lord. Let's partake of this together in Jesus' name. Thank you, gentlemen, for serving us. And if some of you, please stand. And if some of the pastors or leaders can stay close by over here at the front. If you need prayer over any area, that's what we're here to do as well. So we want to pray for you and help you. Maybe you didn't have a chance to rededicate your life last week. And maybe you feel like, okay, I want to get that straightened out. Well, you can do that. Maybe you need prayer over problems. You know what? We all have them. Why shouldn't we call upon the Lord? And he shall answer. So may the Lord bless you and keep you. And I hope I didn't shock you in anything of dismay, but I hope I shocked you into faith. And true heroes is what we need to all inspire to be. heroes of faith. God bless you. In Jesus' name, got a closing song for us, Pastor Todd? And may your team win, whoever that is.